Welcome, everyone, to episode 177 of your favorite podcast, Around the Ring. I am your host, your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. With me, as always, is my co-hostess with the mostest, the oldest young man in the world. It's Ryan the Great Aaron. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. Doing good this morning, sir.
Yeah, that's good to hear. We're going to have a fairly quick show today. Me and Ryan are heading out to Royce City, Texas today for Heroes of Wrestling. Heroes of Wrestling, it's at the Southern Junction Steakhouse. I was like, dude, you know what would be awesome? It's like, dude, you just order your tickets and then order your steak that you want, right? And he's like, I want a third row ticket with a medium ribeye.
That would be different, but that would be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. Ryan Pillman Jr. Will be in the house to take on Andy Dalton. Doors open at 3. You'll be able to meet and greet some wrestlers. So go in there, buy some 8x10, shake some hands, take some pictures with your some favorite wrestlers. And then the show will start at 5. Again, I will be there. I'll have my trusty backpack with me with some 8x10s from some wrestlers you may have heard of. And if you come up to me and say, hey, you're from either independent wrestling radio or indie wrestling radio, are you from Around the Ring? Hey, I'll throw you one of those 8x10s. And if I run out of stuff, hey, I might buy you something from somebody that will be there. Our friend Jordan will be one of the announcers at the show. And I have a friend named Jen. If you've listened to the podcast for a while, we did a fan interview with Rookie Jen, and she was showing us. She is early on her journey of becoming a professional wrestler. And well, she is a professional wrestler right now. She goes to Booker T school, so we should have fun. She's part of the event to crown the Heroes of Wrestling Women's Champion. So you can go to www.heroeswrestling.com to order tickets. We look forward to seeing you there. You looking forward to it, Ryan?
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be the first time in a while that I've got to see Chandler Hopkins wrestle. I'm really looking forward to seeing him wrestle again and talking to him. Pillman Jr., the women's match will be cool.
I think Malico's working, right?
I think Malico's there, too. And then Mitch will be doing the ring announcing, so.
Yeah, it's just like, it's called Wreck the Halls event, I believe. I don't think they're doing a toy collection at this one, so it'll just be like their Christmas show. So looking forward to, like I said, looking forward to going. Let's see. All right. Good Lord, it looks like a lot of it sold out. So that's good to hear.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, seats are first come, first serve, so we got to get there. But, hey, only $10 a ticket, $5 for under 10. So, here we go. Let's talk with our show. Like I said, first thing we're going to do, Ryan came over Friday night. We had some Brahms, and we watched Ring of Honor's final show of the year, or final pay-per-view of the year. Final battle. Me and Ryan both are on the Honor Club, so we got to watch the show for free at my house, and we are going to give you our thoughts on Final Battle now. I got the card right here. It was live from Hammerstein Ballroom in New York City, New York. I believe that they said this is the 12th time it has emanated from New York. We had a full show, except for Kenny Omega, the whole cast of Being the Elite was there, and I believe it, the idea of the new All Elite Wrestling played into a lot of results of the show. So, let's start with the first, let's start with this. Overall, letter grade, Ryan, what would you give the show?
Solid A.
And I'm right there with you. I saw it. Hey, I thought it was one of the best shows of the year. If we were doing our show top five. I probably would have put that in my top five because I thought it was that solid of a show. What'd you think, Ryan?
Yeah, it'd have been around 3, 4, 5 for me.
Yeah, so it was a very exciting show with, you know, a lot of the news of All Elite Wrestling. I had a feeling a lot of my favorite wrestlers the results wouldn't go the way I wanted it to, but, you know, they can't stop you. Results can't stop you from enjoying a good wrestling show. They go out there and put on their art, and you just decide whether you're going to enjoy it or not. So I'm not. So first match, we had Kenny King versus Eli Isom. I'm not familiar with Eli Isom. He is a Ring of Honor trainee. I guess Cheeseburger was one of his main trainees, but I am familiar with Kenny King and his new heel gimmick. Well, not new. I mean, it's been around for a while, but the last time, like, I really watched it, he was going from heel to face, that kind of thing. I mean, face to heel. So, I think he's a more natural heel. I think his cocky demeanor and attitude leans itself more to being a heel. What did you think of this match, Ryan?
It was a match. This was probably my least favorite match on the card. And that's not because it was bad. It was just I don't have a lot of – like, Eli Isom is just another guy to me right now. I've seen him on weekly Ring of Honor TV and stuff like that from here and there, but I don't have a lot invested in him. I'm a big fan of Kenny King and his gimmick and the way he works. But when you paired him with Isom, it didn't do a lot for me yet because I don't have a lot of thoughts on Isom, so – it was just another match, but it wasn't bad by any means.
And I definitely understand that. I definitely understand that thought process as far as that. I am not familiar with Isom, but I thought he worked really, really well in this match. And we're getting the magic beep that generally says connection problems, but I'm going to keep talking through it. I just thought Kenny King performed well, carried the match. He used a move from the fireman's carry. It was more like a meta leak driver. He used that to finish off Eli Isom in the match, and he got the 1-2-3. I mean, as far as stars, I would probably give this like a 2.5. I wouldn't even give it a 3. It was just a nothing match, but it was a great first match. It was a good first match of the show to get you into it. The crowd was very, very hyped, and they were reacting to everything. So that it was a good sign. The second match on the card at Final Battle, we had a ROH World Television Championship match. We had Jeff Cobb, and he was wrestling Adam Page. What did you think of this match, Ryan? Yeah, it looks like Ryan is not there. So I'll tell you what I thought of the match first. I thought this was my second favorite match of the night. I just thought they went really hard at each other. They were two big athletic guys doing big athletic moves. I did especially like he hit a buckshot lariat. Of course, it's one of my favorite moves. And he hit the big tour of the islands. And I like how he did it twice. You know, he did it and then he crossed the throat twice to show that he felt Adam Page needed that extra two of the islands to get the victory. Jeff Cobb looked like a star in this match. I think the ROH title should be going on him fairly soon, but I don't know. I mean, but Adam Page, like he looked amazing, but I think this result is completely different had he signed with ROH. Ryan, you there?
I am here.
Okay, what'd you think of this match?
This was my favorite match on the card. The wrestling, the storytelling, it was really good. Both of these guys are going to be future stars for a long time. You summed up the match and the storytelling very well. But I agree with you 100%. By the middle of 2019, Jeff Cobb is going to probably be holding that main title in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I just, like I said, he just came off as the biggest thing on the show. He was definitely over his moveset and everything. And it's just like, I don't think he has a personality, but his wrestling speaks for itself. Not a lot of people you can say about that, but you can definitely say that about Jeff Cobb. All right, let's get on to the third match, a match that made us all happy. It was the Four Corner Survivals match for the Women of Honor World Heavyweight Championship. Ryan, break down, what did you think of this match?
I'm just going to say this. Due to who won the match, I loved it. excuse me. Sumi Sakai did not win. Kelly Klein won, is the new Ring of Honor Women's Champion. Therefore, it was a great match to me. But if I was to score it, it'd get maybe 2 stars because it wasn't great. It was the outcome that was great. They gave it to somebody that can work, that has a look, and I believe can beat anybody on any given night. So I'm happy to see where they go and how this turns around the women's division.
And, you know, I wouldn't call it a squash match. I wouldn't call it that. But she got all 3 pinfalls. And I thought when, you know, in this case where you've had a longtime champion, you really needed a dominant victory. And that whole the whole idea that Sumi Sakai won, Kelly Klein won, and she got all 3 pinfalls. So, and now she is the gatekeeper. She is a ROH woman. I think she's one of the few people that haven't tried for the WWE, so I think they know they can count on her to carry the division. She is young. She is athletic. She is what you need in the belt. She is a face of the division, as opposed to Sumi Sakai. No matter how talented she was, she didn't have the look you wanted to represent ROH. You don't want ROH to be the old wrestler's company. So that's why I don't think, that's why I was like, I know people might get mad, but wrestling's cosmetic, and yeah, she didn't fit what you need. But Ryan,
that sums it up great.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like Ryan's always agreed. I think the Women of Honor took a step forward by just putting the title on her, because I honestly didn't respect the division. I don't know about you, but I did not.
I didn't not respect it. I just didn't. I wasn't enjoying it.
Yes,
I'm hoping this turns it around to where it pushes some excitement to the division.
Yeah, and just a quick breakdown, Kelly Klein pinned Karen QQ after the K-Power at 7 minutes. Sumi Sakai hit Madison Rayne with the smash mouth. Kelly Klein threw Sumi Sakai out the ring and got the pin on Madison Rayne. And then Kelly Klein did a K-Power from the top ropes, which when they did it and released it, just ended up being like an attitude adjustment from the top ropes. Which works for me, and because it took a big move to take the belt off Sumi Sakai. Which is good. Which is always, always good. I like things. To me, the move, you did the big move, and the big move mattered. And that works for me. Next match was for our fans of grappling wrestling. It was the phenomenal Zack Sabre Jr. He was super over. He was wrestling Jonathan Gresham. I think after this match, he was super over. So, what did you think of this match?
This match was good. There was a couple of spots where it was just like how they were doing. I forget who it was. I think it was Gresham. He did something that, and as soon as it happened, Floyd and I started talking. They were doing stuff. He did something on that you see on 205 Live weekly. Like off the second rope, he did it from the mat to land on Zack Sabre, I think it was, and it was just like, wow, how the heck did he pull that off?
Yeah,
and then it went right into like a submission move or something. It was really cool. These two worked really well together, and if I was to score this match, I'd give it 4.25.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I was right at 4 though, but let me tell you, I'm never going to order, argue a quarter of a point with anyone. The reason I really enjoyed this match is just because it was just as fast paced and athletic as any match you'll see on a 205. Zack Sabre Jr. is very good at the subtle things. The one thing I liked that there was this, move where, you know, it's a normal thing. You have the wrestler, head trap with your leg, and then generally the wrestler does a handstand and pops out of it. Well, when Gresham was trying to do the handstand to pop out of it, Zack Sabre Jr. just kind of put his elbow on the small of his back, so he couldn't get fully up on the headstand to pop out of it. Now, to a lot of people, that wouldn't seem like a lot. Most people didn't notice it. But to me, it's the subtle details that makes the grappling well. What makes Zack Sabre Jr. great is that he does and thinks of the things that should be obvious to anyone. It's like, you know, the guy's going to do a handstand and pop out of the move. They do it every time. They've done it in every match. Why wouldn't you do something to stop it? And if you're trying, if you watch UFC and someone has someone in a submission move, whether it's a rear naked choke or whatever, and they're going for it, they're constantly changing their position to try to get better leverage, because if you're staying in the same position, it makes it easier to reverse. Well, that's what Zack Sabre Jr. does. All his submission moves are constant movement. And like I said, I think Jonathan Gresham was right there with him the whole match. I mean, Zack Sabre Jr. is one of the best in the world. And Jonathan Gresham proved to me, when it comes to being on the mat, he might be one of the best in the world. I really wanted to say all that positive because it's one of those situations where I am very big fan of getting people over when they lost. And I thought Jonathan Gresham got over in this match, even though he lost. You know, he got the cradle, the Zack Sabre Jr. cradle, and he won. So I thought it was a great match. Jonathan Gresham, I'm just going to say he's phenomenal as far as the in-ring game. Unfortunately, and this is where you got to get a little negative, Floyd, the fact that he's 5'4 is going to hold him back forever. It's just is. I would even say I feel like I got a girl that loves me as much as Jordan Grace loves Jonathan Gresham. But if I didn't, that's all I would want, because she loves the hell out of him. And she'll fight you if you say anything bad. So I only bring her up because I know if she ever heard this podcast and I said, you know, his height would hold him back, she would get so angry. And she'd tell you how wrestling's, as she always says, wrestling's fake and blah, 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 and anybody can win. I'm just like, yeah, I know, but, you know, it's a cosmetic business. And unfortunately, he's smaller than most of the referees.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if he goes to WWE, he's smaller than all of the referees. Drake Wirtz and I forgot the other guy will put him to shame because they're fucking ripped and taller, you know, and they're considered that small for WWE standards. He would be the smallest person on 205 Live. It'd be him or Leo Rush. I don't know which one, but he'd be the smallest person on 205 Live. That is a tough hill to battle or climb. You know what, I wish him the best success, but I think maybe ROH champion might be his ceiling.
But I would probably agree with that.
Yeah, and that's because he wrestles a lot of people small as him. Somebody like Zack Sabre Jr., Kenny Omega, Jay Lethal, they're going to look good. But you put Jonathan Gresham in there with Punishment Martinez, I don't buy him hanging. Even though Punishment's with WWE, I was just using him because, like, I don't buy Jonathan Gresham being able to hurt Jeff Cobb. I just don't.
I don't either.
Yeah, so, all right, on to match 5, spending too much time on Jonathan Gresham. He's a great wrestler. Zack Sabre Jr. is a great wrestler. Again, not my match of the night. I thought it was an excellent match, not my match of the night. And when I say match of the night, I won't even say it's the match I rated the highest. It's the match I enjoyed the most. Like, Jeff Cobb and Adam Page, I probably enjoyed it more than ZSJ and Jonathan Gresham, but I would rate ZSJ and Jonathan Gresham's match higher. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I would probably give Cobb and Page 3.75, maybe a 4. I would say Zack Sabre Jr. and Jonathan Gresham's at least a 4. But if you're asking me which match I enjoyed more, I'm going to tell you Jeff Cobb and Adam Page. But on to the next one. We got the real ROH World Champion. Hopefully, I think the guy that has the highest trajectory in ROH for the next year, he is Matt Taven. He was accompanied to the ring by TK Orion, and he wrestled Dalton Castle, the Bionic Man, because he had a hamstring wrap on and a back brace, which, you know, again, I can't tell people how to eat. I can't tell people how to feed his family, but it feels like Dalton Castle should be, you know, not wrestling right now.
But yeah, it definitely felt that way.
Yeah. So the first match of the first part of the match, let's talk about the bump. The bump.
Oh.
Heard around the arrow. Matt Taven went over the top ropes to dive on the Dalton Castle. Dalton Castle moved out of the way, and TK Orion was there. It looked like TK Orion was supposed to catch Matt Taven, but he did not. And he instead kind of slowed down his trajectory as his chest landed right on top of the guardrail. Now, I audibly reacted to this because I looked like he at least, like, I wouldn't even say bruised. I thought he broke his sternum. I did not think there was any way that he was going to be able to continue. The referee gets down in his ear. It looks like he's about to throw up the X. But Matt Taven, the super soldier that he is, said he was all right and continued the match. What did you think when you saw this bump?
I was right there with you. I didn't think it was. I thought he was seriously hurt and the match was done because it looked nasty.
Yeah, but he showed why he's Matt Taven, because, wow, the fact that he even continued the match, did a lot. And I will say, what I'm saying is that when you look at the beginning of the match, it was actually very slow and clunky. And I think it had a lot to do with, you know, Dalton Castle barely being able to move. And the end, that final, transition into, Matt Taven kinda winning clean, I thought that was good, but honestly, I would have probably gave this match a 3, just like the gentleman's 3, as they call it. What do you think?
I agree with that. It was very much a match. It was, like you said, clunky. And the other spot in this match that I thought was really cool, at one point, Dalton Castle had the pin on Taven, and TK Orion from the outside just picks up one of the boys and throws him through the ropes to break up the pin.
Oh, my God, I forgot about that.
That was awesome.
Yes, and it was hilarious because he throws him. He does the flex, like, I just chucked this dude in the ring. And then the referee throws him out, and he's like, why? Well, you just threw a person at him. You threw a person at him. What do you mean, why?
Yeah, it was really good. It was a fun spot.
Yes, and like I said, his genuine look of disgust on TK Orion's face that he was getting thrown out. I'm like, you do know you threw a person at him. Ah, well, whatever. That is hilarious. I thought it was hilarious. Again, Matt Taven wins the match at 15 minutes and 50 seconds with his, what's his finisher called? I call it the original Dirty Deeds, but I don't know what they actually call
it. I don't know the actual name for it.
Yeah, Wikipedia does not put finishers and moves on their site anymore. It's like, so there's no more, more move wiki, so I don't know what it's called, and I feel horrible. But I'm going to call it the crown because he is the kingdom. And I love that he comes out with the purple, and he had the purple rain. The entrances, both of these entrances were kind of the entrances of the night. I think at your big events and your big shows, you do need big entrances. And I thought this match, as being kind of the mid-card main event, they did well with those the entrances. So we then have Marty Scurll as he wrestles Christopher Daniels. The reason this match is significant is because Christopher Daniels needed to win basically to keep his spot in ROH. Marty Scurll, Daniels said he couldn't, Marty Scurll couldn't beat him one-on-one. They went on one-on-one, and Marty Scurll put up his ROH World Championship match. So, this match, let me tell you, I'm going to ask you and let you fill in this spot. Do you remember any specific spots from this match?
Honestly, I don't remember. I mean, I remember certain moves being done, but as far as like an overall spot where like a transition of things happened, I don't remember. It was a solid match. I don't remember anything great about it, but I don't remember anything really bad about it either.
That's what I was going to say. It was kind of a forgettable match. Like, if somebody said, hey, Marty Scurll and Christopher Daniels was wrestling, I'm like, yay. But I'm watching this match, and I end up not watching this match a lot. I just don't pay attention to it. It was just kind of there. I figured Marty Scurll was going to win. Because fortunately for him, he's one of the few people in the Elite that actually have a continued contract through the Madison Square Garden show. So I was like, okay, Marty's going to win. But I'm watching the match, and it just wasn't exciting or anything like that. I think it was supposed to be telling the story that Christopher Daniels just wasn't good enough anymore. But I don't think it did. I'm just like, I don't know. Christopher Daniels has somewhat of an exciting style. Marty Scurll has a character-based style. It's all about the character work for him. And he got the tap out on him, which I was shocked on. I thought he was going to finish him with graduation. But if you asked me to rate this match, I literally would skip it because I don't remember the match. It was forgettable. I would have to watch it again to rate it.
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
Like if somebody's like, oh, I gave it a 3.5. It may have been a 3.5. I remember kind of zoning out on it and not paying attention to it. And I'm like, I don't know if it was their fault. I don't know if it might have been my fault. I might have been a little tired. But honestly, I can tell you, it was the only match on the card I did that for. Yeah, I mean, it was the only one. So, I mean, I'm willing to accept some blame, but kind of feel like it's on them. And that's the thing with Marty Scurll. I like Marty Scurll. I like the character development. I like his character work. But unless the other person's exciting, his matches tend to be boring. He kind of needs the other person to carry the move excitement of the match. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. I'm a fan of Marty. I like his ring style, but you're right. It's very much character driven. And he does need a partner in there in the ring that can carry himself to where it can make Marty work his character and it look really good.
Yeah, like his best stuff with Ospreay is his reversals of Ospreay stuff. Like every time Ospreay goes for the Os Cutter, he gets caught in the chicken wing. And they have some stuff like that. And I remember those things. And Ospreay is so exciting. It definitely helps his tone down style. And then at All In, he was wrestling Okada. And Okada's moveset's exciting. And the best things about him were his reversals of Okada's big moves. And it's just like, that's where his money is. So, like, I would pay not to see a Marty Scurll, Nick Aldis match. I would pay not to see it. Because I think that would be the most boring match ever.
Yeah, that wouldn't be enjoyable.
Yes, because you have someone that is not exciting, and then you have someone that does a lot of character work and really needs his partner to be exciting. I don't know how much chemistry would be there. But, hey, you know what? It is what it is. After this match, the reason I bring that up is because after this match, Christopher Daniels does his little retirement speech. Actually, I'm going to get back to the whole where Nick Aldis falls into it. But after this match, Christopher Daniels kind of does his wave and everybody's doing thank you, CD, and chants. And then Bubba Ray comes out and hits him in the nuts. Calls him, because Bully Ray is the best heel in the business. Hits him in the nuts, gets booed, and then says, let's start the match with Flip Gordon right now. What did you think of him interrupting Chris Daniels' farewell?
It brought some real heat in that arena that night. Because as soon as that happened, that arena, they immediately, like, Bully was getting it. They were not happy with him. That was some real heat.
I think we got some FU Bully chants.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I thought we got some really good chants there. I was very excited about that. And this leads into what I think is my favorite match of the night. Bully Ray versus Flip Gordon, I Quit match. And if I try to tell you everything that happened in this match, I don't think I would. I think you could give me like three different times and I think I would remember a different thing that happened in this match. So let's try to parse through some of it. Because we were talking, and I think this was very much an Attitude Era type match. It was very little Flip versus actual Bully Ray, correct?
Correct.
I mean, there was a lot of interference. Of course, a lot of the weapons and the plunder. Bully Ray beating the crap out of Flip. I think Flip was busted open, within 3 minutes of the match?
Something like that, yeah.
So I'm just going to try to break it down so we can try to get... What was your favorite thing that happened during the match?
Man, there was so much in this match. Honestly, I don't know if I have a favorite, like, just moment of the match, because not just thinking about it, because there was so much, I don't know if I can pick one.
I think my favorite thing was Kerry Silken hitting Bubba with the kendo stick.
That was the most shocking to me.
Because he never gets involved in matches. Right. Ever. He is very much, he's a classic dude. He, the wrestlers are the stars. He helps promote ROH. He helps get people signed. He helps make deals. Him getting involved in a match. And I even thought what was cool was Bubba Ray threatening to drop Flip's girlfriend or fiance on her head. I just thought that was amazing. I just thought that was old school character work. I love that Bully is hated so much. And to me, the shocking moment is when you find out the flagpole that he has is a kendo stick.
I did not notice that when he came out.
So we got some Silas Young, we got some Colt Cabana, we got some Cheeseburger. Everybody that's been involved in this feud made an appearance in the match. At the end, it looked like Bubba was about to set a table on fire. The lights went out, and in came the Sandman. In came the Sandman, who had a kendo stick fight with Bubba Ray and helped Flip, and Flip takes both kendo sticks, and I believe he was hitting him with both kendo sticks on the back while Bully Ray was laying in the lighter fluid covered table, and Bully Ray said the words he said he would never say, I quit. And yeah, and that was the match. And Flip Gordon finally gets his victory over Bully Ray. It was like, as far as excitement and build, I feel like this was like Cody Aldis. I would give a 5-star just on the storytelling in the match. But if you ask me, like, oh, if you were rating it as a wrestling match, I'd like 3.5. It was just such a good match, though. What'd you think?
That's very fair. The storytelling was out of this world. That was the best part, the build up and then the storytelling in the match. But the match itself, I'm at about a 3. I mean, because there was just so much there. It was just a fun mess.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was like, not to steal a name from Mr. Joey Janela, but it was a clusterfuck of all portions. And it was just like, if you would say, hey, did this make Flip Gordon a star? I was like, I don't really know, but that match was so fun. It's like all I really wanted to talk about. And it was just a really good match. Flip Gordon gets the win. I think that is building towards, he signed a 2-year deal with ROH. So I think he is really about to get a run and get into some feuds and be featured on the show. So what's the next match we're looking at? We got the last two matches. Jay Lethal versus my boy, the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes. With Brandi Rhodes, let me say, the entrance of Cody. Snake from Metal Gear Solid series. What did you think?
That was cool. Cody always does an entrance theme, and I was kind of looking forward to seeing what this was, and he came out looking sharp. It looked good. I liked it.
Yeah, I want everybody to know. You know, I'm a Cody fan. Not the biggest Cody fan. I have been humbled on Twitter by a lot of people to let me know that I am not the biggest Cody fan. But I am a huge Cody fan. I believe in him. But the reason I think I like Cody, the reason people talk about it, he's like in-ring, I actually like his in-ring style. I like his work. Don't get me wrong. So when people say he's not the greatest worker ever, I disagree, because I think he's a completely fine, above average worker. Yeah, but the thing about Cody is when it comes to promotion, when it comes to the subtle details of any match, when it comes to things like that, Cody Rhodes gets it. He gets wrestling. He comes out in a Snake uniform. He understands his people are the hardcore Cody Rhodes fans, the gamers. Those are his people. Those are the people that are going to follow him to All Elite Wrestling. So what does he do? He always does it. He comes out as themes of famous villains, generally. And in this case, the famous villain was, I don't know if he's, or anti-hero would probably be the best term, with Snake from Metal Gear Solid. I mean, he had the pants camouflage. He had the eye patch with the headband. He had the red armband. And I don't know what Brandi was, because I'm not super familiar with the series to be like, I think she was just like a soldier in it. And I just thought, you know, his music hits and it's just like he owns it. When you look at the entrance, there was no doubt who the bigger star was between Jay Lethal and Cody Rhodes. Correct?
Correct.
And so I just thought that was it. So when we get into the match, Cody's getting chants, and it's deafening anything Jay Lethal's getting. So Cody, through his character work, through who he is, I think he did everything in his match he could, including saying, if I loved you back, I would be at the Madison Square Garden show. He did everything possible to get people to boo him and tear Jay Lethal. Do you agree with that?
I do. He was over the top trying to get people to boo him, and it did not work.
He is over. He is over. He is astronomically over. I've heard that he's not super over in Japan. I've heard that on the New Japan shows, but in America, he's over. In America, he's a draw. He's America. You put him on your show and you get an extra few hundred people. You probably sell it out anywhere in the United States. It's just what happens. He's Cody. He's the draw. And they put on a good meet and match. It told a really interesting story with Jay Lethal. Is trying to establish that this is his company and trying to run Cody Rhodes out of it. And in the end, Jay Lethal took a spear from Brandi, which is funny. Men selling spears from Brandi Rhodes, hilarious to me. 'Cause, you know, she's not like a like Camille Kane or the Camilla, the one that comes out with Nick Aldis in his circle. I'm like, she's 6 foot, she's buff. I would sell a spear from her, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't really sell it. Yeah, I wouldn't sell her a spear. But they sold. They sold the spear from Randy Rhodes. Cody hit 2 crossroads and a dense fire on Jay Lethal. He managed to kick it out. That's old school ROH. ROH, if there is one thing ROH is known for, is the finisher kick out. But in the end, Jay Lethal took a shortcut. They did a callback to the first Jay Lethal and Cody match. Jay Lethal hits Cody in the leg with the belt, gives him the double middle finger, put him in a figure four. Cody tries to get to the ropes. Jay Lethal drags him back out to the middle, and Cody taps with both hands because, you know, he has a bad knee. He has an ACL injury on his knee, and Cody Rhodes, Jay Lethal walks out with the world title, and Jay Lethal begrudgingly and angrily shakes Cody's hand after the match. What did you think of the match in general?
The match itself I enjoyed. It was good. There was always something happening that had me intrigued, whether it been something that with the actual wrestling itself or with it being the character work that Cody does with Brandy on where's Brandy, what's she about to do, because you just felt like something was going to happen. It was just really good, and I enjoyed it. I'd probably give it 3 3/4.
Yeah, I definitely 3 3/4. I agree with that. I wouldn't say quite 4. It was just... it didn't, like, I've loved Cody's matches. It just didn't have that excitement of either one of the Aldis matches or the excitement of the Jay Lethal match. It just ended up, you know, it ended and it was, you know, it was over. And it was just like, okay, Jay Lethal won. We kind of expected that to happen. I liked that they played, you know, Cody had the knee protection on and they played that up. And, you know, he was able to perform and get that taken care of. He did business. He is a businessman. So Jay Lethal is the champion. The last match of this show, and I'm going to be honest. Last match, I was kind of exhausted. It was just like we'd seen a whole amazing show. You know what I mean? But I was like, man, I don't know. I didn't know how much excited I was for this match. But they did not disappoint. I did not disappoint. I think we got the Briscoes versus SoCal Uncensored versus the Young Bucks in Ladder War, which if you're not a ROH fan and you want to compare it to anything, it was a triple threat TLC match, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so... you know, you had to get the belts off to the top. I think, seriously, I think we got color from, like, everybody in this match. I know, I think Frankie was the first. Both Briscoes got color. Did either one of the Bucks get color?
I don't think so.
I don't think either one of them did, you know. No. They're valuable. They're super valuable. But we got a lot of spots. First of all, the Young Bucks came in a Rocky, the Rockers. Inspired gear, what did you think of that?
That was cool. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I was like, it was weird. I don't like the Young Bucks music. And I know Mr. Matt, or we know the dad does their music. And I'm usually a fan. The Elite for the YouTube video is one of my favorite themes. So, but I don't like their... I guess it's called Super Kick Party. I just don't like it. It doesn't pop me. It doesn't, to me, announce their presence with authority. But we got to get to 6 men in the match. SCU super over. SCU! They're super over. And Frankie and Scorpio, and they did a great job on the ring announcing of putting this over. But... any memorable spots from the match before I go into the results and what it means?
Oh, man. There was a spot where I forget which Young Buck it was. I don't know if it was Matt or Nick, but he was crawling up, climbing the ladder, and they pushed the ladder over, and he flew over the top turnbuckle and landed on a table. And I don't know how he didn't just bust all open, because he hit that table very flush, and it looked like the table exploded, and I'm surprised he didn't as well.
Yeah, I thought that was that was definitely a good spot. There was a couple spots I always pop when the wrestler throws the chair at someone's face. It just looks so violent. But there's so much happening. The super kicks, I love that part. And in the end, the Briscoes, the greatest tag team in ROH history. They win the match, and they are your new ROH World Tag Team Champions. When looking at this, you have Jeff Cobb, Television Champion, Kelly Klein, Women of Honor Champion. We have the World Tag Team Champions as the Briscoe, and a World Champion as Jay Lethal. You can't get more of an ROH level of talent as far as their champions. All their champions are pure ROH, which is great. I think, you know, that is a great set of champions going into the new year. We did get, after the Jay Lethal and Cody match, we got Nick Aldis. First, we get Marty come out, and he looks Jay Lethal in the face. And then we get Nick Aldis, and him and Camille come out to about the middle of the ramp, and they stare at it. So I think we are destined to get an ROH and NWA match, ROH versus NWA championship match. And I think that's going to be amazing if they decide to do that, because I think ROH and NWA is going to have a working relationship for a while. At the end of this tag match, Briscoes win. They go out. Apparently, the Elite came out, all the members of the Elite. They thank ROH. They thank New York. And they say, basically, we're going to be back in New York. So that was the show. We both gave it an A. On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 means absolutely no chance, to 10 means absolute certainty, how sure or not sure are you that these people are going to be on the Madison Square Garden show?
I'm about a 6 that they're not.
Okay. Well, I'm about a 9 that they are. Literally, I'm buying my ticket based on the fact that I think they're going to be there. And if they're not there, I'm going to be like, well, it's still a New Japan show, and I've never actually been in a New Japan show. So I'm actually knocking 2 things off my list. I've never been to a ROH WrestleMania weekend show, and I've never been in a New Japan show. So I'm knocking those both out at the same damn time. So that works for me. But yeah, I hope they're all on the show in some capacity. Maybe like Cody Page and the Young Bucks do a 4-on-4 match at some point. Maybe they fight LIJ or whatever and not actually be in a singles match or something. Just be on the card. That's what I would like, but we will see. We got January 4th, Wrestle Kingdom 13 coming up. Well, that was our ROH Final Battle review. We thought that was a solid show, and now we're about to do our TLC 2018 preview. TLC is coming live from San Jose, California at the SAP Center. Center theme songs, Body Talks by the Struts. I don't even know who the Struts are, but that show is tonight. I believe it starts at 6. They have not announced what the pre-shows are, but the show's generally 4 hours. And we got 12 big matches on this show. So we're going to go through and see who we think's going to win each match. First of all, we have the Mixed Match Challenge Finals. Each member of the team will be the 30th entrant of their respective Royal Rumble and they get a trip anywhere in the world, which it's great that you win something, but when it's in a predetermined sport, does it matter? What do you think, Ryan?
Yeah, I think it matters. The Royal Rumble aspect of it matters because it gives that person an advantage of where they'll, I mean, obviously the number 30 spot is a spot that a lot of people want because you come in, there's going to be less people there, and you're going to be 100% fully not exhausted and all that, so you have an advantage. So I think that's a huge thing, and I think that part does matter.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to disagree, but it's just like it's one of those things like, you come in 30th, that's great. But the trip around the world is like a trip anywhere in the world. It's like, so your bosses are giving you a trip anywhere in the world. So I don't know. The stipulation is just really weird for me. I guess it's the same way with the title or whatever, but I don't know. For some reason, it's different. So we got the R-Truth and Carmella versus the Fabulous Truth versus Mahalisha in the finals. Now I got a question. If I gave you 1,000-to-1 odds at the beginning of this tournament that this was going to be the finals, would you have taken it?
Probably not.
Yeah, I didn't think there was any way in blue hell that this would be the main match of the Mixed Match Challenge. You got 7-second dance break, Fabulous Truth versus Mahalisha, Jinder Mahal, who like never wins, and Alicia Fox. Well, I hope this is on the pre-show. Who do you think is going to win, sir?
I'm going to go with the Fabulous Truth.
Yeah, I think they're really hot. I think they're really popular. 7-second dance break is great. I have already talked more than I should about a Mixed Match Challenge match. So on to the next match. I'm going to skip around and try to break out in importance here because the way they got it listed here, I'd be talking about the most important matches first. We got Rey Mysterio versus Randy Orton in a chairs match. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with Rey Mysterio. I don't have a whole lot of reason why. I just think he's going to end up going over here.
I don't know. And like I said, the reason I'm talking about this match second, because to me it doesn't matter who wins. But I'm going to go Randy Orton, just gut feeling type of thing. Next match we got Finn Balor versus Drew McIntyre in a singles match. It's the one of the matches that doesn't fit into the theme of the show. Who do you think is going to win that match?
I'm going to go with Drew.
Yeah. He doesn't lose, so Drew McIntyre is going to win that match. I wish we could get some Demon Finn tonight as like a shocker. Demon Finn comes out and just destroys Drew McIntyre. That would be awesome, but I don't think that's going to happen because that would require thinking outside of the box. Then we get Elias and Bobby Lashley in a ladder match. A guitar will be suspended above the ring, and the first run to retrieve it can use it as a weapon. So it's a guitar on a pole match. So, who you got winning this match?
I'm going with Elias.
I'm going with Bobby Lashley. I'm going to go with Lashley. I think the child, Leo Rush, is going to have something to do with the result in that one. Let's see. Let's go to more insignificant matches. Let's do all those first. Let's go tables match. It is Natalya versus Ruby Riott. Let me ask you this. It's a tables match and it's no DQ. Shouldn't it just be academic that all three of the Riott squad members just come out to the middle of the ring and attack her?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so. But who do you think is going to win?
I think Ruby Riott wins. That's who I want to win. I want Ruby Riott to win. I'm going to predict her as well. The storyline they've been doing and Ruby Riott and the Riott squad are being built up for a while now. And I think they're going to win this. And then Ruby Riott's going to go on to challenge for the women's title.
All right. Well, I got Natty winning it. And I imagine Sasha and Bayley will have something to do with it. They will come down to even up the account. Natalya puts Ruby Riott through a table, and life doesn't matter still. I mean, it's just, it's a match. And I, like I said, I am proud of the fact that there is a women's match on a show that's not for a title. And I think that's needed more as for women to be taken with respect. I just think that you do need feuds that have nothing to do with the title, and that's actually perfect. But it's just like, I don't care about this match because I generally don't care about, like, right now in my life, I am at the least that I've ever cared about the WWE programming and storylines. How, I know you went through a period you didn't watch it, but while watching it, have you had a time where you've cared less?
Probably not. I mean, when I say cared less, I mean, it's because it's just been not, hasn't been good. Yeah. I care a great deal and I want it to get better, but yeah, it's just, it's the most boring storylines they've used.
I like literally care about two matches on this card. Two matches on this card. Like actually looking forward to and excited about. Oh, I hate when I do that. Three. I'm looking at the thing and I see three. One of those matches we're going to discuss next for your Cruiserweight Championship. We have the champion Buddy Murphy versus the challenger Cedric Alexander. Who do you think's going to win?
I think Murphy retains, and I think this is going to be the match of the night.
I definitely think it has the capability to be a match of the night. I have another match in mind that I think is going to be the actual match of the night. I think Cedric Alexander ends the year the way he started it as the cruiser. I mean, ends the year the way he has been most of the year, and that is as the Cruiserweight champion. This is pretty much the third match of their championship match kind of series. I think Cedric Alexander gets the win. Could be wrong. Wouldn't be mad either way. I just really enjoy them wrestling. So, got that match. And like I said, that was probably a match I'm looking forward to the most. Then we got a WWE SmackDown Tag Team Champion Triple Threat match. I don't know how this became a Triple Threat match because, you know, I watched SmackDown, but I was working while I was watching SmackDown, and then I was like, after the match, I was like, oh, maybe she'll go watch it and see what happened again. And I just didn't feel like it was worth my time watching that show again. So I don't really know how this became a Triple Threat match, but The Bar versus The New Day versus The Usos, all five-time tag team champions. Who do you think comes out on top?
I'm going with The Usos.
Yeah, I think they're heating them up again, so I completely agree with you. I think they're heating The Usos up again. I think they're about to make this march towards WrestleMania, and I think that'll they like to get The Usos on at the I think they would like to get The Usos on at WrestleMania, whether it's at the pre-show or whatever, because they put on a good match. And you never miss out on the Usos New Day feud. These three teams are amazing. They have been the tag team division for about a year and a half now. They have been a big part of, I mean, honestly, about 2 years now of the tag team division. Generally, one of these three teams are always champion, whether it's on Raw or SmackDown. So this is the best tag division in wrestling, and I'm looking forward to this match. How about you, sir?
I'm looking forward to it. This is probably the number two match that I'm looking forward to tonight behind the Cruiserweight match. I think this is going to be really good. These three got great chemistry together. This team, these three teams do. Excuse me. And, I really think it's going to end up being the New Day. And I'm going to say Xavier Woods is going to be the one. He's going to get pinned. I think Jimmy pins him.
All right. Well, then we got Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin. If Braun Strowman wins, he receives a Universal Championship match at the Royal Rumble. And Corbin will be stripped of all authoritative power. If Corbin wins, he will be the full-time general manager of Raw. Who do you think wins? Do you think Braun Strowman shows up first?
I think he shows up.
Okay.
I've gone back and forth on this one, trying to figure out who I think is going to win. I want Corbin to win because I want to see more of him as general manager and the way they've been doing it. But I think Braun's going to win.
That would be interesting. And, yeah, I think Baron Corbin wins when Drew and Bobby Lashley help him beat him, help him beat Braun. I just think, to me, the best storyline going forward is Baron Corbin as general manager. I know a lot of people will probably want to burn me alive for saying that silly stuff, but I just think that's his best role in the WWE as general manager. The next match, we have Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose, IC title match. It's just a regular singles match. Who you got, why?
I'm going with Dean. I think Dean's going to get the title and become champ. And this is going to elevate him more as the heel that he's going to be.
The whole of the last month makes no sense if Dean Ambrose doesn't win this belt.
Agree.
I just think it's been a waste of time if Dean Ambrose doesn't win. I think he has to win. All right. Then we're down to, I think, the last three matches. For the WWE Raw Women's title, we have Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax. Do you think there's any way in hell Ronda Rousey loses this match?
No.
No, I don't think so either. I just don't think there's any way. I think Nia does the tap, tap, tapping thing and calls it a day. And it's those type of matches where I just like no who's going to win. I think that's a problem in the WWE. Then we got the last two matches. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles, the match I'm looking most forward to. WWE Championship match. I think this is going to be our match of the night. We get two of the best wrestlers in the world, two of the best wrestlers in the last 20 years, two of the best wrestlers in the last 5 years. Just amazing talent. They match up well. Daniel Bryan's playing super heel American Dragon Bryan Danielson type character. AJ Styles is the champ that runs the camp, the face that runs the place, the house that AJ Styles built. I just think for the WWE title, I think if you ask anybody 2010 or after a dream match for the WWE Championship that they never thought was going to happen, it'd be AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan. And we have them on the show tonight. So, yes, I'm putting the low at, just because it's WWE and they tend to short these time of matches, I'm putting the low at 3.5. So what do you think about this match? I know you're probably not excited.
I'm not thrilled about it, but it's got the potential to be really good. It could be the match of the night if they both go out there and are allowed to work and go and given the proper amount of time. I've got Daniel Bryan retaining. I think he's going to win, and it's just going to elevate him even more. I hope that they debut some new music for Daniel Bryan tonight, because the Yes music with him and his new character, it just doesn't work. So I hope they debut some new music for him, but I'm gonna go with Daniel Bryan retaining the title.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, and I think Daniel Bryan's going to Daniel Bryan's definitely gonna retain. I think he's going into Mania as the champ, but I have enjoyed this feud immensely. The last one is the match. The Empress versus the Queen versus the Man. Becky versus Asuka versus Charlotte. Now, I think me thinking how hot Becky Lynch is, it would be fucking idiotic for her to lose tonight. But, in my opinion, Asuka wins this match. How about you?
I have the same thing here. I got Asuka winning. And it's just going to make Becky even more over.
It's going to make Becky more over because how Asuka's going to win. Asuka is going to win because Ronda Rousey hates Charlotte and Becky Lynch. So I think Ronda Rousey is going to have a presence in this match. And I think she's going to attack Charlotte and Becky Lynch, allowing Asuka to get the pin or get the belt. And in continuing, bonus points, I think tomorrow in the shakeup from Vince McMahon, he sends Becky Lynch and Charlotte over to Raw.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, so we can have those three going at it over the next few months. So, but I think Asuka takes the win. You agree with that? Yeah, I've gotten the bar so high on this match. I got the bar at 4 stars. I think the lowest this match is going to be is 4 stars. I just think this is going to be really well done. I'm really looking forward to it. I just think it's going to be a classic match. Is this one of those ones that you're looking forward to?
Yes, this is third on my match list tonight. Third or fourth, right there with the tag team match. I could go either way with them too, but I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And I think this is going to be a great match with some great storytelling involved.
Yeah, I just think that's. I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be a really good match. I think it's going to be everything we want it to be, and I'm looking forward to it. So much looking forward to it. So that is it. That is it for our TLC review or preview. The match show is tonight. After we get back from the show in Texas, I will probably try to watch as much as I can before passing out, and then watch the rest in the morning. And you can listen to thechairshot.com, Indie Wrestling Radio, and you'll probably hear my thoughts there. So there you go. That is it for our review. Now we have 2 top 5s for you, and then we're going to get out of here. First off is our top 5 juniors. These are people that wrestle in the Cruiserweight division, Junior division, X division. Generally, people that are over 205 Live. Brian Cage is not accepted in this list. So, as much as he's the X division champion, he does not fit the X division description. So, Ryan, do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. I pulled a Dave here. I've got 4 honorable mentions.
Okay.
I've got Buddy Murphy, Kushida, Bandito, and this is just me because I love the man, Juice and Thunder Liger.
I got Marty Scurll and Ricochet. Marty Scurll, because he hasn't really worked Junior a lot this year. I just think he's, you know, he does put on good stories, and he was in the Junior Super J Cup. And I thought he did really well there. And Ricochet, he doesn't, you know, he's not a cruiserweight or a junior really anymore. But as far as I consider kind of like a high flyers list, and he's always going to be on my list. So who you got at 5, sir?
At number 5, I always struggle with the first name. I have Ishimori.
Taiji Ishimori.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, Taiji Ichimori. Tell us, why is he your number 5, sir?
I'm just, over the last year, I've watching his matches. He's somebody that's like, the stories that he's told and the way he is in the ring, I've just kind of gravitated towards him. And I've really enjoyed watching him work and improve since he's came over in New Japan and stuff. And I'm just really enjoying his work, and he squeaked in at my number 5.
All right, my number 5, I have Cedric Alexander. He is literally my favorite cruiserweight, and he was the champion most of the year. But as far as in-ring performances, I have 2 people that are on his brand that I feel like has outperformed him this year. So I have him at 5. Who you got at number 4, sir?
At number 4, I have Cedric Alexander.
All right. And, yeah, I think he's had a great year. But I literally, when I went to this list, I just, like, I thought about juniors and their performances this year and who I thought had the best performances. And I was like, he did good. He was what they needed as a champion, especially after the Enzo crisis. He was definitely solidified the 205 Live brand. But I don't think he was just, like, the most outstanding performer. At four, our 5-4 was inversed because I have Taiji Ishimori. He came over as the Bone Soldier this year. Had a great Super J tournament or cup. Had a finals match with Hiromu Takahashi. Hiromu was basically injured and wrestling with a broken neck, but he finished it. And he won it, and I just thought Ishimori did everything to make him look amazing. So I just thought Ishimori, every match, he just has that look for him, the Bone Soldier. He was also in TNA or Impact Wrestling Slammiversary. He was in a match there, and I thought he did a great job there. And I just think he brings legitimacy to any junior or cruiserweight division that he's in. Who you got at number three, sir?
At number three, I have the villain, Marty Scurll. I'm a fan. His character work, his in-ring character work, his matches that he has with people. He had a lot of good matches this year with different people. He came in at my number three.
My number three was Buddy Murphy. The juggernaut of the Cruiserweight division finally became champion. Best kept secret in WWE. He had great matches with Mustafa Ali, Cedric Alexander, pretty much anybody he wrestled with, he had on a good match. He's taken Kenny Omega's knee, and I literally think he is the second best at throwing it, and I just think he's a very exciting wrestler. He's one of those wrestlers that's so good, I would love to see what he does on the indies, because I think he would just tear the house down if you just, because on the indies, you know, that leash that is on you in the WWE is not there, and you can even show more of what you got. But I think he's really talented, and I got him at number three. Who's your number two, sir?
At number two, I have the heart of 205 Live, Mustafa Ali.
At number two, I have the heart of 205 Live, Mustafa Ali, too, so I just wanted to go ahead and throw that in there. Why do you have him there, sir?
Just before the last year, I had in the Cruiserweight Classic, I had a feeling he was going to be really good. But this last year, his storytelling and his ring work, I feel like he's elevated it to another level that we haven't seen in a long time. And I've just really grown to like him. And I'm invested in his character. Like, his character and his vignettes have really invested me into his storytelling ability. And I can't get past that. Like, it's been great to watch him this last year.
Yeah, his promos, well, his little cell phone and, you know, little promos that he does is really, really well. But he's had a classic match with Buddy Murphy, classic match with Cedric Alexander, classic match with fucking Hideo Tommy. You know, every match that he does steals the show with whoever he's on. I'm hoping he feuds with Leo Rush soon just because I just think it would be a fun feud. He's the one I'm looking forward to. Kind of capped it off, him being my junior of the year, is that he has built so much buzz and excitement. They gave him a match with the WWE champion Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. I mean, of course he lost, but it was still the fact that they elevated him to that level. That means other people are noticing how good he's doing. So I'm very excited for Mustafa Ali. If we were doing this list WWE and outside of WWE, he would have been my number one in WWE. But there's just one guy I just think just a little bit better than him. So who do you got at number one, sir?
All right. At number one, I'm going to shock some people here. Probably really, I'm going to shock Floyd quite a bit. I don't know just how much of a junior cruiserweight this person worked this year, because I haven't been able to watch near as much as I have in the past. But at number one, I went with Zack Sabre Jr.
Yes, he in New Japan, he literally does not work junior anywhere. But if you're going specifically on the size, that dude's about 180 pounds. So
yeah, he's a junior in size.
Yeah.
And
To me, he easily had the best year of anybody on my list. His year was incredible. I think he won, what, two different big tournaments?
Yeah. He won the New Japan Cup and the Super Strong Style 16,
Yeah. He had an incredible year, and he came in at number one for me.
My number one is a guy that would never even be on your list, the Aerial Assassin. And, like, honestly, if you did Wrestler of the Year for the first 6 months, he probably would have won it. But, you know, he was injured part of the second half of the year, but I still think he was by far heads and shoulders above every other junior in the world, and he is now graduating to the heavyweight division, but that still most of the year he was spent as a junior, the Aerial Assassin, Will Ospreay. Yeah, I love him. Yeah, I think he's deserving of number one just because, you know, he's pretty much carrying the junior division of whatever brand that he's on. Now he has gained a lot of weight. Him and Ibushi will be wrestling at Wrestle Kingdom 13, and they're about to tear the house down. So that is our juniors list. If you agree, go ahead. If you agree, just enjoy the show. Like it, share it, whatever. If you disagree, hit us up at aroundtheringok@gmail.com. Let us know your top five when we post a show on Around the Ring or, you know, Twitter or whatever. Just reply with your top five list. I would be very interested to know that, even if you don't even listen to it anytime soon. Just, I'd like to know what your top five is. Now it's time for our last top five. It's our top five companies. Now, me personally, I'm going to give you my list. I'm probably not going to have a lot of explanation for it, but we're just going to do our best. Who do you got on your honorable mention, sir?
Honorable mention, I've got one that I'm going to be honest. I've never sit down and seen an entire show, but I've seen matches, and that's Progress.
Okay.
And I've also got SmackDown Live.
Okay. All right. Am I mine are Progress, Game Changer Wrestling, because they've had a lot of buzz. They've done a good job of making buzz this year, and 205 Live as my that is my list of honorable mentions. Who do you got at number five?
At number five, I have 205 Live.
Yes, 205 Live just got bumped on my list by my number five. But what do you got? What do you think about it?
Just 205 Live, it went to a new level this year. The storytelling, the in-ring work, the quality of matches that they were putting on, it went to another level this year than it was the first year that they were a show. I think the addition of Drake Maverick being the GM helped it when they did that. And it definitely enhanced the social media aspect of it, and it got you watching the social media, which in return got you to watch the show with the way they were announcing different things. And I thought the buzz and the storytelling was really good, and they came in at number five for me.
Number five for me, and this just bumped 205 Live just because I just love the talent and I'm a big fan. I was a big fan of Progress, and this is basically WWE's take on Progress. It's NXT UK. Pete Dunne is the champion. They just announced the tag team belts. Rhea Ripley as the women's champion. I have really enjoyed every show I've watched of that, and they are my big boy show. What's your number four?
At number four, I have a promotion that if you'd asked me this 2 years ago, I would have never guessed it would have made a top five for anything. I went with Impact.
And that is my number four either. So you go first as far as why it's your number four.
The way they came in this year and just basically kind of started from scratch and rebuilt their in-ring style and their storytelling and their wrestlers to a big deal. They elevated. They are really good, and they're carrying into they're going to have a strong 2019, I think, as well. The work with the OGs and LAX, Moose, Aries for most of the year, Brian Cage right now, OVE being the buzz that they got. It's just been a great year for Impact, and it'd be a shame if they don't make somebody's top five promotions for 2018.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Slammiversary was one of the best shows of the year. Austin Aries really did bring them back as far as to a level of respect. Brian Cage is one of the bigger stars in wrestling, and he's pretty much exclusive with them, which is genius. And so I think we're at that point where they are peaking and they're going in the right direction. Who you got at three?
At number three, I have Ring of Honor.
At number three, I have Ring of Honor also, so go for it.
A lot of this is Bullet Club being the elite, but they've also done a good job of building some stars. The last, I don't know, month and a half, they've done great with Jeff Cobb. They get Hangman Page became a star this year because of Ring of Honor. The Briscoes, SCU, their tag division is probably the best in the world right now. I love their tag division. It's been really good. I enjoy it. And they came in at number their pay-per-views this year. They didn't have a bad pay-per-view. Like, they may not have, they weren't all great, but they didn't have one that I felt like I just wasted my time watching it. And that's a big thing now to me, because I didn't think that was ever going to be a thing, and it really is a thing now. So they came in at number three.
All right. I definitely, like I said, I agree with Ring of Honor. Cody, I think they did waste most of the year with Cody not being the champion. I think with Dawson Castle got hurt at the end of the year, it sucked, but I think they should have put the belt back on Cody and let him hold the belt most of the year. They made their decisions, reasons, or whatever. He was just the hottest wrestler in the world. Probably wanted to be the face of your company, but they did go with Jay Lethal, and they actually did it at a TV. Well, it was like a live TV, which I thought was smart. Jay Lethal is the main person in ROH. He is the franchise of ROH, so he's the Sting of ROH. So having the belt on him is great. Great decision. The Briscoe brothers, I went to two or three live ROH shows this year, and I enjoyed them all. So, yeah, definitely. Who you got it to?
At number two, I have New Japan.
I think our one and twos are inverse. So, do you think about New Japan?
I didn't get to watch. Like, I watched all the big shows, but I didn't get to watch Nears and then all of the big tournaments. But I didn't get to watch all the shows that I wanted to, like all the shows on the network. I didn't get to watch near as many as I wanted to because I didn't have time. If I did, I'm sure it would be number one. But yeah, Floyd's going to say a whole lot when it gets his turn to talk about them here in a minute. But I really enjoyed them, and they came in at number two.
Yeah, let's see. I'm going my number two. I'm going NXT. Takeover is consistently the best show on television. The reason they're not my number one is I sometimes think their week-to-week show leaves something to be desired. Well, you definitely get some boring week-to-week shows there, but for the most part, they're amazing. Don't get me wrong. I love NXT, and being two on the top five list is nothing to sneeze at, especially when it's considered, quote-unquote, the developmental brand. So number one for you, I'm guessing, is
NXT.
There you go. Go for it, sir.
The takeovers, the week to week, the storytelling they use. They use Twitter to a great deal as well with their storytelling to the back and forth. I really enjoy it. The match quality. It's rare that you get a show, even on week to week. They might not be over the top exciting, but it's rare you get a show where there's more than one, I guess you could say, dud. It's always a solid match, just about. It's rare you go in and you're just bored because the matches suck. It could be that the storytelling's not great, or they're just building to something, so they're using this and they got to give some people some time off. But it's always a solid program when you watch it. And they were number one for me.
Yeah, number one for me, as you might guess, at New Japan. Their main shows, the big shows, are always amazing. G1, shit, you can, if you just gave me the G1 shows, and they would have probably got number one. But then you have the New Japan Cup, the Super J Cup, you have the World Tag League, all of those things. It's like there's always an event leading to something, which I think is super important as far as wrestling. Everything seems big. Every match, there seems to be a reason for, and, you know, I mean, I will never, you know, for me, if you ask me why I prefer New Japan on over WWE, that there's your answer. It's that the fact that every match means something. Every match is leading into the next event. Every match is leading into a pay-per-view. There is a reason for it. So, that is, yeah, that's the New Japan. I mean, Wrestle King, everything's building up to Wrestle Kingdom. I'm talking about it's March, and they're like, winning this match, every, we got to perform. You got to show up. You got to be great on every show. So that you can be on the Wrestle Kingdom card, because there's not a lot of spots at Wrestle Kingdom and that kind of thing. And I just think that matters. And I love that it matters. And that's why New Japan's going to be my favorite. That's why I look forward to the show. So I definitely look at that. I mean, so those are our top five shows. Again, aroundtheringok@gmail.com. We are on the chairshot.com. Our show will be up today. Show will be up Sunday, December 16th by noon. I hope everybody gets a chance to listen to it. We will be representing thechairshot.com as far as with our shirts and stuff today at the show. We'll leave here about 11. But Ryan, anything else you want to throw out there?
No, everybody watch Raw tomorrow. It's the fallout from TLC, but also Vince McMahon's going to be there with a big announcement. So let's see what Vince McMahon's going to be there to do.
All right. So we got that going on. This has been a big wrestling weekend. We'll probably have a lot more to talk about next week. You know what? Me and you will discuss it, our top five, and then we'll just kind of post it, what our top fives are going to be, because okay. I don't want to really think about it right now. I got to, you know, get showered and all that stuff to get ready for the day, and got to get the show uploaded. So that's the most important part. So for Ryan the Great, this has been your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. We like to thank everybody for tuning in. If you've listened once or 100 times, thank you for consistently and continually listening to Around the Ring. Enjoy wrestling, enjoy world, go and support your local indies. Just to let you know, the world may not be what you want it to be yet, but every day you should work to get it to the way that you want it to be. And just remember, it's all a work. Don't forget to keg out it too. We'll see you next time around the ring.